As I said, it's a familiar topic I want to talk about today. It's more than a topic, really. And it's something that we all are used to. I want to share about the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us God is spirit. There is material or solid things, and there are spiritual things. God is spirit, and all who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. This morning I want to talk about that spirit. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. They are synonyms. One is derived from Old English, ghost, ghast, and the other is from Latin word, spiritus. So Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, they are the same thing. The Bible speaks about the Holy Spirit. It's not just plucked from folk tales or like we talk about ghosts. No, this is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. In the Old Testament, from the Old Testament to the end, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 1, verse 2, in the Old Testament, we read there, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, not material, not solid, not substance, not liquid, the Spirit of God was there at the very beginning, Genesis 1:2. Also in the Old Testament, in Psalm 51, Psalm 51, verse 11, says, "Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me." This is David. "Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not away from your presence." So there's a link here with the Spirit and the presence of God. And in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 1, the Gospel of Matthew, speaking about Jesus, verse 18. "Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this manner. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit. Spirit. Also in Acts 1, the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 7, he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." All these scripture verses refer to one and same, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Some places it refers to him as the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that was in the beginning of creation. The Spirit was there in the beginning of creation. Hallelujah. And guess what? It's beyond comprehension, and it should make us feel humbled and proud. If you can be humble and proud at the same time, to feel to know that the Holy Spirit of God, which was there at the beginning of creation, is the same that is in every child of God today and always. The same Holy Spirit is in you. The Spirit that was there at the beginning of creation, that Spirit is in you as a child of God. It's amazing if you just pause to think about it for a while. I know I was watching the telly yesterday and before recently, I've been watching quite a few telly and sports people, and they win and they say, I feel so proud. But right now, just reflecting on that, I feel so proud that the Holy Spirit, we carry the Holy Spirit. And I feel humbled at the same time because, wow, how can the Spirit that was in the beginning come and reside in us? The Holy Spirit, if you didn't know it, I've got to tell you. I know I said Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is a person. That is why we can relate to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. John 14, verse 26. John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. He, that's a person, not it. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. It's relatable because it's a person. He's a person. It's not just some cloud of or some vibes. No, he is a person. John 16, verse 13. John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. This is writing as a person. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Just to remind you, it's Father, Son, Spirit. That is who the Holy Spirit is. He is a person. Not a mere person, nevertheless, still in all forms a person. So he can relate to yours. And that's why you can grieve him. That's why you can make him unhappy. Because the Spirit is a person. Jesus said here, the Father will send the Holy Spirit. So the question is, has Jesus sent the Holy Spirit he promised? Has he sent the Holy Spirit he promised?
Yes.
And in Acts chapter 2, in verse 1, it was his arrival. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as if of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. The arrival of the Holy Spirit that God promised, that Jesus said his Father would send, that he said he's coming. He arrived. He's here. The Holy Spirit arrived on the day of Pentecost over 2,000 years ago. And you also, brothers and sisters, if you are born again, you have been born of the Spirit. We are all born of water natural birth, but when you are born again, you have been born of the Holy Spirit of God. God sent the Holy Spirit to be with everyone born of the Spirit. It is the indwelling presence of Christ in every child of God, every child of God, in every servant of Jesus, every servant of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is there inside of you with all that power, with all that love, is there inside of you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a thing to be grateful for. It's a thing to be proud of, that we carry in us the power of creation. Amen.
Amen.
We carry in us the ability, the capacity of that love going to the cross to die for another person. That capacity of love we carry in us, each and every one of us. Jesus said, love yourselves, love each other. That is how the world will know that you belong to me. That love, is the ability to do it, is in each and every one of us. So, what is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? I'm briefly going to talk about the purpose to the believer and the purpose to the non-believer. Because God sent the Holy Spirit to the world. What is the purpose to the non-believer? The Holy Spirit leads the non-believer into a revelation of Jesus and his finished works. It is the Holy Spirit that leads people to understanding, to that revelation. The mind of unbelievers is like there's a veil, there's something covering their mind. Like in the wedding, you know, in the wedding, the bride, their face is covered. That's how the veil is. It's removed. The Holy Spirit removes that veil from the minds of non-believers. So Jesus and the grace of the completed works can be clearly seen and understood. You can talk from today to tomorrow for it to be understood. That veil has to be removed. It is the Holy Spirit that does that work. The Holy Spirit helps people to understand God's word and recognize Jesus as the Redeemer. The Holy Spirit, no amount of talking, teaching, the Holy Spirit comes in. And this is stated clearly. The miracle of salvation is executed by the Holy Spirit. John 6:44. It is the Holy Spirit that helps people to understand, to come to the Lord. John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him on the last day. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Also in Revelation said, look, good, I'm stay at the door and I knock. If anybody opens, we will come in. It is the Holy Spirit that comes. No one can come to God unless the God sends the Spirit to draw him. Then you have the choice to respond or not. It is the Holy Spirit that convinces the unbeliever of sin, and the unbeliever then has the choice to respond or not. It convinces him that there is no condemnation, but he does it in a personal, loving manner. Then the non-believer makes the choice. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit for non-believers. So those of us who are praying for non-believers, let's keep on praying. Let's keep on witnessing. Let's keep on sharing. Just keep on doing it. Just keep on doing it. It is the Holy Spirit who will complete the work. Don't feel defeated. Don't feel tired. Just keep on. The Holy Spirit will complete the work. Amen.
Amen.
What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to the believer? That is to you and I. As we read in John 16, by the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he will guide into all truths. Also in Matthew 11:27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. That is the Holy Spirit's purpose. And that is done by the choice, by God's choice, the Father's choice. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and to anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal. So the purpose to the believer is the Son and the Father is revealed. So now that believer believes, is no longer a non-believer, he is now a believer. And the Holy Spirit then moves and works with him in different manner because he's now a believer. The Holy Spirit then becomes his helper. Romans 8:26. I will send another one like myself, Jesus said. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Look, we are believers now. We are looking at the purpose of the Holy Spirit for believers. And I'm saying that the purpose is to help us. And this is the scripture deals with that. We do not know what to pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When we've come to the end of our abilities, the Holy Spirit then steps in and helps us. He helps us in our weaknesses. Glory be to God. In our weaknesses, the Holy Spirit is there to help us, to strengthen us, to pray for us, to intercede for us. With groanings too deep for words. In the spiritual language, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Sometimes you might have a prayer point, you just don't know what to say. Start to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit will intercede for you. Hallelujah. We're looking at the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Another one, he's an enabler. He enables us. Through Christ, I can do all things. Hallelujah. You can do all things through Christ who lives in you. He enables us. He is an enabler. The Holy Spirit enables us to do all things. He gives us a fresh revelation and he motivates us and he just enables us to do that which we couldn't do on our own. The Holy Spirit is also our conscience. It's our conscience. Scripture says, if your conscience doesn't convict you, you're okay. The Holy Spirit is in you. He's your conscience. We do not know all things. We cannot know things the way God knows them. But you have a conscience that is like the Spirit of God himself. Let's go back to this scripture in Romans 8. Romans 8. We just read 26, isn't it? Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. But look at 27. And he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. He knows the mind of God. He knows what is the mind of the Spirit. The mind of the Spirit is the mind of God. The Spirit is of God. So when the Holy Spirit intercedes for you, He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Because it's the mind of the Spirit. God is Spirit. And it goes on in 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. Conscience. If your conscience does not condemn you. So see, this is relevant because there are so many things happening right now in the world that you can't see a model or something in the Bible. But the Holy Spirit knows all, and it's your conscience. So He will convict or strengthen. If the conscience does not condemn you, then you're okay. That means the Holy Spirit, who knows the Spirit of, who is the Spirit of God and knows the mind of God, has not condemned you. That is the conscience, your conscience. That is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is also our teacher. It's your teacher. Even right now, the words we are sharing, the word I'm sharing, the Holy Spirit takes that word into your mind and teaches you about it. Even maybe hours from today, He could call it to remembrance. Maybe if something happens, He could bring it to remembrance. He teaches us. When you're reading your Bible, you might be directed. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He's a teacher. The Holy Spirit is also a friend. He's a confidant. Come to you, me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He's a friend. He's a confidant. Bring everything to me. Say everything to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, why are you not coming to tell the Holy Spirit everything? I got news for you. He knows already. He knows already. So why are you, are you ashamed or what? No. Confide in the Holy Spirit. It's your best friend. He's our best friend. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He enables us, and also He empowers us. He empowers us. Tarry you in jail until you be endued with power. It is the Holy Spirit that gives power. Also in Ephesians 1, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13. In Him you also, when you had the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit in you is your guarantee. It's your guarantee that you're going to heaven. It's your guarantee that you have the power to do all things through Christ who is in you. It's your guarantee that Christ is in you. It's a guarantee. Amen? Psalm 16, the boundary lines are falling for me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee of your inheritance, of our inheritance, until we acquire, until we possess it, until we get to heaven. That is the guarantee. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit transforms character. He develops qualities such as love, self-control in believers. It is the Holy Spirit that does that. The Holy Spirit works in and with believers as gifts and fruits of the Spirit. I'm sure we know all of this is Galatians. It is the Holy Spirit that manifests these gifts and fruits, such as faith, joy, healing, prophecies, evangelizing, teaching, miracles, signs and wonders, goodness, gentleness, patience, peace, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. It is the Holy Spirit that works in believers to manifest all these gifts and fruits. The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit creates and nurtures fellowship with God. He creates it. He makes it feasible, makes it possible, it makes it tangible, it makes it so you can believe it, you manifest it. So it's the ultimate end is to make the believer more and more Christ-minded. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
This Holy Spirit who we have shared about today, this friend of ours, this helper, this enabler, this friend, that is the greatest gift we have as believers. It's more than a gift, it's a companion. The ultimate purpose of the Holy Spirit to the believer is to build the church of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate purpose, to build the church of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. So each and every one of us that carry the Holy Spirit, that's what we should be doing. Building the church of Jesus Christ here on earth, the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. And the Holy Spirit will enable, will empower, will direct, will show us, will lead us, will partner with us, will help us in that purpose. That is the purpose, the ultimate purpose of the Holy Spirit for all believers. Amen.